definitely not the starters. You're on the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Hey, welcome into the End of the Bench. David Collier here in the First United Bank Studios on a Friday. So we got Big 12 semifinal basketball later today. Texas Tech taking on the Houston Cougars. Looking forward to that matchup. And the guy that will be calling it, joining us right now in Kansas City, after what I assume is a long day of rest after morning basketball. How you doing, Hacks?
Can you hear me okay, David?
Yes, sir.
I'm doing just fine, man. Did you miss me?
Oh, without a doubt. I'll say this. It's weird. I know you travel so much, but it's hard to get into a groove when there's, you know, you're on the road constantly. No, I was looking forward to having you back in here. I would prefer you sitting right here. It's a lot more personable for my brain as opposed to staring at the monitor there. But as long as I can hear your voice, and you're going to carry me through 3 hours, right?
I think, you know, we'll share it. Maybe like you take an hour, I take an hour, and then we'll split the last hour.
We'll let Lucas get the last hour. How about that?
Yeah.
So how about that game, huh? I mean, I don't want to get crazy into it, but, man, you had to feel good about the basketball team after, and you got a whole day to feel good about them as well.
Yeah, man, the things are great. The trip's been fantastic. I mean, just absolutely no complaints, especially with the way the guys are handling their business and focused. And I guess the only complaint you could have is Darian Williams with the tweaked ankle, but that the complaining stops there. This bunch is special, and no matter what happens the rest of the way, I think we'll go down as a special basketball team in Texas Tech's history. I'm just really proud of all of them, and you know, and I don't know, they've got a really good balance. You know, they lock in, they do their film, they do their walkthrough, but it's not over the top. They practice, they do their shoot-arounds, but they don't drill you to death where it's 24/7 and we're going to do 16 walkthroughs today. And I just love how Grant McCaslin has done it, and how you have lineups on the floor that you would never imagine that you would have, that you could go on a 4-game winning streak down the stretch without Warren Washington. I mean, it's just crazy. It's just been a really good trip.
Well, good. And obviously the work not done. Hopefully you can obviously the goal is to get the win and get into the championship game. But I would imagine you have to feel pretty good at that point. We talked about it earlier in the week, wanting to get at least one win there and kind of solidify yourself where you think at this point, two wins over a top 12 net team in BYU, I think four wins against top 20 net teams. You got to feel pretty good that, you know, if anything, you're a 5 seed before you even tip off later today against Houston.
Yeah, I just can't wait for that to flash up, because I'm going to have the screenshot of me 3 weeks ago saying they're going to be a 5 when everybody had us as a 9.
Well, and more fodder for you for Fran, who yesterday said he was shocked that I don't know if he said shocked, but he was surprised that the Red Raiders won yesterday as well.
I mean, you know, BYU – you know, they thought they were ready, but they weren't ready. I mean, they got locked up. They got out-athleted, out-played, out-everything. And, you know, I'm sorry, the allergies have kind of gone crazy up here. The one thing that this bunch has turned into, David, is one of the toughest teams around. When you're led by Joe Toussaint in the toughness department, then you're off to a good start already. But I don't know if you've seen this like I have. Chance McMillan's kind of fallen in that line. Mm-hmm. Robert Jennings has fallen in that line. We have some tough hombres on this team that have seen everything, have played in all kinds of environments, and they just lit it up yesterday, and it was a joy to watch them, you know, kind of this. It was a fruits of your labor game to be an underdog. You know, nobody's talking about Texas Tech at all across the board. I think people thought it was a fluke that they were the four seed, you know, and here we are with chalk, you know, and nobody's won back-to-back games. And Houston didn't allow TCU to score a point for 9 minutes at the start of the game yesterday. Mm-hmm. So you're basically playing one of the two best teams in the country today. And 8.5-point underdogs let it rip, as Leslie Miles once said at the University of Oklahoma, let her rip.
Well, hopefully this one works out a lot better than it did for Les Miles. We'll just leave it at that. He had plenty of success. You know, you kind of mentioned it there, but the one thing that I like about it, you said the toughness, and maybe you can speak more to this. I don't know how much time we have before this first segment's over, but this team kind of embodies Grant McCaslin over there on the sidelines. You know what I'm saying? I mean, late in that basketball game, they were blowing BYU out, and he's still coaching, and they're still playing. It's not, you know, let's goof around. And you know what I'm saying? I mean, they needed to run the clock. They ran the clock. I mean, they were deliberate. They weren't too excited, but you knew that it was like all business the entire time, because like you said, it was kind of, I don't want to say a victory lap, but they were in the moment and they were enjoying the moment, but they were doing it the right way. Grant's way.
Yeah, and it took a little while to get to that point because Texas Tech was running past BYU so easily that when they had the thing in the bag, they still felt like they could just go score at any time. So they were still trying to hit a few home runs. And then so a couple of times they bobbled it out of bounds and they didn't do what they – so Grant slowly gearing the thing down, slow it a little bit each time. All right. And now, and then you were so much better than them that you were still getting the shots you wanted. It was just with 2 or 1 second left on the shot clock. I mean, like Pop was just dribbling around those guys like they were, you know, ice sculptures.
Yeah.
And then he could just go up there and flip it in the basket. So you're right. It took a little while to get that in their minds that we can still score on these cats and run clock all at the same time.
Yeah.
We don't have to go fast.
Yeah, and I heard you on the broadcast. There was one point Lamar Washington was going a little fast, and it worked out. But, you know, you could even sense right there. It was like, okay, let's dial this back a little bit. We don't have to run with them. We certainly don't want them to be in rhythm and start knocking down some threes.
Exactly.
All right, we'll talk plenty more about this basketball game. We'll circle back, if you will. A storyline I didn't see until well after the basketball game, but Trevin Kell, foot in mouth, helped the Red Raiders, motivated them. They might not say that, but the university certainly did with their Twitter account. Fun times on social media. Texas Tech kind of slapping back at the old BYU Cougars. You're listening to The End of the Bench here on 100.7 The Score.
Definitely not the starters. You're on the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
All right, what you need to know here on the End of the Bench. We start, obviously, with the Texas Tech men's basketball team in the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City. Moving on to the semifinals later today after an 81-67 win over 20th-ranked BYU. Pop Isaacs leading the way with 22. Red Raiders now face top seed Houston tonight at 6:30 with the coverage starting at 6 o'clock, or actually 5 o'clock. Sorry, my bad. Six o'clock. I've got the baseball flip flopped in my brain or something. Yeah, baseball's at 6:30. Basketball tipping off at 6 o'clock. Coverage starts at 5 o'clock on Double T 97.3 with Jeff Haxton and Chris Level there from T-Mobile Center. Ludwig Aberg tied for sixth at 5 under par after one round of the Players Championship. 2 eagles, 2 birdies, and a bogey on the card after one round. He tees off at 12:51 today in round two. So he's in the hunt, a couple strokes back of the lead there at the Players Championship. Texas Tech baseball, there we go. They open their series at Baylor and Waco later tonight at 6:30. 7:30 coverage starting at 6 o'clock right here on 100.7 The Score. That will be a Jamie Lent and Dr. Mike Gustafson production as they get you ready for the bowl game between the Bears and the Red Raiders. Kyle Robinson on the mound for Texas Tech against Mason. I wonder if it's Marriott instead of Marriott.
I hope it's Marriott for America's sake.
Exactly. Texas Tech softball. Hey, we got the Red Raiders playing the number one team in the country in Kansas City. The softball team also gets top-ranked Oklahoma at 6 o'clock at Rocky Johnson Field today. Two of the top offenses in the Big 12 Conference Hacks. Texas Tech and OU among the top three in most of the hitting categories. Texas Tech number one in the conference in doubles. And the 27th-ranked Texas Tech women's tennis team improves to 4-1 in Big 12 play with a 4-3 win over Kansas yesterday in Lawrence. They won that match in a tiebreaker in the final singles match of the day. They visit Iowa State Saturday morning at 11 o'clock there in Ames. And a headline here, we're about to get some rain on the South Plains. Big old band I just saw on the radar.
Yeah.
What's the weather been like up there? It poured up there. In my understanding, it poured up there pretty good. Thursday night or Wednesday night?
Yeah, man, we had a little supercell come through, and you know, it was the first tornado watch in Kansas City since 2021, and it happened in mid March, so it was kind of weird there. They had some tornadoes out west of here, south of Manhattan, but all it did was just really rain hard, which was nice. But this has been an anomaly for me. I just got to tell you, I have not put on the jacket once in Kansas City, Missouri in mid-March. It is 2 years ago when we went to the championship. I don't think it ever got above 25 degrees. I mean, completely bitter, horrible cold. And it's been the exact opposite. It has just been absolutely gorgeous up here. Beautiful.
Well, that's good because, yeah, usually you pack kind of heavy for that trip to Kansas City, at least back when I went back in the day. I'm currently getting grief for not making the trip up there either. Well, not currently. Yesterday I was getting grief on the chat line. It's just not a trip that I make. I'm not the traveling man like you. If you don't have to make the trip, you know, and you've got others, that's what the youngsters are for in the building. Let them learn how to work on the road. That's why they want to do this anyway. So that's what they get to do.
No, it's completely smart on your part, dude. 100%.
Yeah, I watched the basketball game, and I did watch that run by BYU in the second half. I was at a local hot wing establishment with Brooks watching basketball, and it did get tense there in the second half. But I'll be honest, the negative Nancy that I am, I didn't think – I know they were only, what, three threes away from taking the lead when it got down to seven, but that was one, to me, that was the, that we see all the time in college basketball. You're down a lot, and it's the last gasp run, and you get it to a certain number, and, you know, you've emptied your tank at that point, and can you get by that? And it just didn't, to me anyway, and I know it's probably different for you there in the arena, but to me, it didn't seem like that was something they were going to be able to overcome.
No, it never did. And I'll tell you, this chalk thing, I really think has some deeper meaning. And it's not like it's reinventing the wheel or anything here, but this season, this new season in the Big 12 has really, I think, beaten everybody to a pulp. And if you have to play back-to-back nights when the other team was kicking it at the hotel, you're at a huge disadvantage. I don't know if you watched any of Baylor and Cincinnati last night.
I did.
Cincinnati ran out of gas so fast. You could see them hit the wall. And you're like, hey, Baylor's still, you know, got bounce. They still are running around and look just fine. Well, Cincinnati, I mean – they just all, like, it happened with those two free throws from Skillens, I think is his name. Mm-hmm. Skillens. You know, they said, oh, he's one of the best shooters in the world. And clang, clang, you know. and he didn't get him there. And that's because his legs were gone. And then from that moment on, they didn't have a chance. So this chalk, you know, again, is rewarding you for your work that you've done in the regular season. And That's why we've – one of the reasons why we got 1, 2, 3, 4.
Well, and that's one of the – I mean, and if you talk about those top four teams, the one that needed it the most, I think we would all agree it's probably the Red Raiders too.
I mean, just for seed improvement.
Well, I'm just saying if you wanted to make any potential run in this Big 12 tournament, if you're playing back-to-back days – and today we're to be the third day for the Red Raiders of playing games. I don't see that working.
No, you don't have a chance. Right. It is going to be extremely tough tonight. I'm just telling you. It's again, you're at the point where you've probably done enough for as much for your resume as you need to do. You got Darian Williams hobbled, who you desperately have to do anything in the NCAA tournament. But you could also go just shoot the absolute lights out of it and advance. But Houston has a way of making you look incompetent on the offensive side of the basketball.
Yeah. I mean, they can do that even if they're struggling. That's the thing. Yesterday, everybody thought they were struggling offensively, and they probably were to an extent. And it's not really going to matter because their defense is just ridiculous. I mean, Lucas and I were talking about it before the show started. You had 7 points in the paint. Is that what it was, Lucas? 8 points. Red Raiders had 8 points in the paint against the Cougars the first time around back in January. And I'm going to venture a guess 6 of those were the 6 points Warren Washington scored. I might be wrong, but it's going to be a tough task, and you're going to have to be hot from three. They hit 11 threes in that game, finished with 54 points. So it's going to be a tall task against a team that probably wants to solidify, even though I think they are solidified, their dominance early on in the Big 12. And I don't see them being like, okay, we're good right now. Let's just rest up for the NCAA tournament. I think they want to make a point that, yeah, the Big 12 conference was big and bad, and we just came and destroyed everybody in it. What stood out for you, Hax? I guess not stood out, but you kind of mentioned Lamar Washington in that game. What role can he play tonight if the Red Raiders were going to be able to pull off this upset, which obviously when you're an 8-point underdog, this is going to be an upset. Heck, they said it was an upset yesterday for the Red Raiders.
Give you 8 minutes of – one steal, 3 rebounds, and 1 putback.
Yeah, I know it's not a lot, but I got a feeling, you know, there might be times where some of those guys are going to be a little more winded, so a guy like Lamar Washington might be forced into playing a couple more minutes if somebody gets into early foul trouble or something like that. You're like you said, we're playing with house money at this point, but it would be nice to play decent, I guess, against the Cougars. You don't want to go into the tournament playing bad basketball.
I think you'll play decent, but you're 8.5-point underdogs for a reason.
Yeah. Yeah, and even if they don't have a necessarily great game, like you said, it all starts over after that. But come out of the game healthy.
There's positives all over the place, and I'll tell you when we come back about today. I'll just let you know that no matter what today happens, you're a winner.
Yes. All right. Good. Look at that. Uplifting thoughts from Jeff Haxton coming up here on the end of the bench. You're listening to David Collier in studio, Lucas White running the show, and Jeff Haxton in short sleeve shirts and shorts up there in Kansas City while we're freezing here in the Hub City on 100.7 The Score.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Somewhere in between breakfast and lunch here on the End of the Bench. Thanks for staying with us here on this Friday as we slowly work our way to plenty of action for Texas Tech Athletics. We've got baseball opening up a series in Waco later today. You can hear right here on 100.7 The Score. Jamie Lent and Dr. Mike Augustifson will be on the call for that. Our coverage begins at 6, first pitch at 6:30. Jeff Haxton in Kansas City. He and Chris Level will get you ready for Red Raider basketball in the semifinals of the Big 12 tournament, starting at 5 o'clock on Double T 97.3 with a tip at 6 o'clock. Hacks, break down what you've done for food for us, because I've got another restaurant that you can potentially go to here in the future in Kansas City.
Okay, I look forward to that. I got here too late for the broadcaster's dinner. That was at Garozzo's, the Italian neighborhood joint, which I wish I could have gotten to, but everything was just slow getting up here. So it started at 6, and I missed that. So I was the thing about that, though, there was a consolation prize called Jack Stack, which is my favorite Kansas City barbecue. First time I'd ever had it buffet style, but it was still very good. I am continually reminded, though, now that, you know, Texas barbecue is vastly better than Kansas City. It doesn't matter where you go.
Yep.
But it was still good. The best thing that they had there was brisket. The next night, they had the team meal inside the hotel. I went with Minsky's Pizza. It was not as good as it always has been. Really not even close to as good, but still good. And kind of just bummed around the hotel for some grub here and there, kind of just snacking. Haven't really eaten that much. I've spent a total of $30 since I've been up here. So that's what a good boy I've been.
You've been sleeping it all off. How much?
Well, my back is so bad, dude. I felt terrible because it really goes into knots in the lower back when I have to do like dishes or set up our equipment where you're slightly kind of bent forward. And then so tearing down, there's a lot of that going on. So you have to tear down the equipment to get out of the way of the people that have paid thousands of dollars to watch that game. Then you drag the equipment over there. And then the walk is straight uphill from the T-Mobile Center to the Marriott. Yeah. And it's not a extremely far walk, but it's pretty much straight uphill. By the time I got back, I could barely walk. So I was walking with five other people from tech, and they all just dusted me. And it's because I could barely move my legs. And so once I sat down and let the knot release a little bit, I came back up to the room and I put my shoulder down on the couch and was gone and immediately out, exhausted. So there has been some of that going on.
No, dude, I would, as soon as I was done with that broadcast, I would go straight back, nap, and then, well, I'd probably watch a little of the Houston game, but then I would go straight back and just call it a day. If I wake up to get dinner, I do. If not, I'll just have a big breakfast.
Well, I got lucky. I woke up and went straight back to work and got probably 90% of today's work done last night with the interviews and the writing. And I'm looking at my sheet right now. I just got to kind of round it out. So after that little crash, got a little grub and got to going back to work and grinding and got a lot of things done.
All right. Well, I mentioned the restaurant coming to a Kansas City hotel actually near you. This news I saw yesterday, set to open in early 2025, so maybe in time for your next trip to Kansas City. I don't know where the Lowe's Kansas City Hotel is located there.
I do.
Well, next year you will be able to swing by the Lowe's Hotel and check out a new restaurant there going by the name of 1587 Prime. Do you know where the 1587 in the 1587 is coming from there?
I mean, no.
What if I told you a quarterback to tight end connection?
oh, man, I should have got that.
Yeah, no, pretty solid name. Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce announcing on Thursday that they're teaming up for a restaurant to be open in the Lowe's Hotel in early 2025. It's going to be, oh man, it's going to be 10,000 square feet on two floors and feature hyper subtle nods to what Mahomes and Kelce have done in their career thus far. Private dining rooms, a wide assortment of wines, a meat display, and more will be featured. So, Red Raider fans, you've got a destination spot, which I'm guessing will probably be pretty difficult to go to in early 2025 if you're up there. But hey, something to look forward to either way.
I'd say there's a lot of this going on where older buildings that have held nothing for a long time have massive construction going on inside them to turn them into restaurants, boutiques. This whole area continues to flourish, and that makes sense that they would do that. The Lowe's is very established. It's one of the best places in all of Kansas City, and that's smart of them, I think, to put that there. And people will want to go there just to see the memorabilia, because, as you know, this town is just on fire for both those guys.
Yeah, our Faith Douglas was up there, and I told her when she was going up there, I was like, just go find a mural of Pat somewhere and get some video of that. Everybody will eat that up here. And yeah, she found something up there.
I saw her come through the security area. I could have pointed her exactly where the best one of those is. It's south of T-Mobile, south of the Boulevard Brewery, and right on the side of the building, and it's really sweet.
Speaking of Boulevard, from the chat, Yates Flooring Center chat line, we've got a thank you to Haxton for his KC recommendations. I went to Boulevard, Minsky's, and the Power and Light District. Great atmosphere, great beer, great pizza, and a Texas Tech win made for a perfect midweek getaway.
That makes me feel so good. I'm glad. I've been to these places so many times, and yet sometimes you can screw up your recommendations. I remember one time there was this place in Macomb, Illinois, okay, and it was in a strip mall, and it was called Lynn's Garden, and it was, you know, Chinese folks that had moved to Illinois that were cooking, I thought, amazing Chinese food. And I recommended it for years. We would stay across the street at the Best Western. And I would say, hey, man, we're going to Macomb, which sucks, but we get to eat Lynn's Garden. And so I talk it up the whole trip, and I get up there and it is closed. That is a bad feeling when you have been pumping a place up like that, and you get up there and everybody's, you know, ready for some orange chicken or whatever they're going to get, and boom, shuttered.
Well, you did right this time. You can't be right all the time, right, Hex?
Yeah, that is very true.
From Trey on the Yates Flooring Center chat line, just wanted to give a shout out to Hex. You're incredible on the call. I thoroughly enjoy listening to baseball and basketball broadcasts. I hope you stay a Red Raider for life.
Thank you, Trey.
Hey, we're talking.
Yesterday felt good.
Yeah. No, that was for everybody involved. You mentioned the sleet or whatever in Leveland. Gail and Gino on the chat line from Colorado sent us a picture. We got a good spring snow, and it's their back porch. Are there? Yeah. It's a lot of spring snow.
Yeah, Gino was telling me yesterday on our little chat line that they were getting snow, and I was like, man, it's a lot different here. It's spring here.
They can keep it in Colorado. You guys have that nice weather up there, and they can have all the snow they want whenever you guys are back in town on Sunday. How about that?
Sounds good.
All right. Stick with us here on the End of the Bench. Burning questions via Lucas White coming up next on the End of the Bench. You're listening to 100.7 The Score.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
End of the Bench rolls on, and we start with a little programming note here. We heard baseball there. Before we get to all of the Texas Tech athletics here on the airwaves, we start with high school baseball today. Originally, Cooper and Monterey were supposed to play at 1 o'clock here on 100.7 The Score. We've mentioned the weather here in town that's ongoing. That game right now has been pushed back an hour, so if you're wanting to listen to Cooper and Monterey baseball here on 100.7 The Score, that will come your way at 2 o'clock now today, weather permitting. That could change, and we'll be here to let you know if it does. All right, Jeff Haxton rejoining us from Kansas City, and we neglected it in the last segment, Hax, so it's time for some burning questions.
2 minutes of nonstop in-your-face inquiries with no end in sight. It's time now for Burning Questions.
Okay, question one. What is the longest you've had to wait in a parking lot to get out of due to traffic?
The ones that come to mind for me immediately, and I tend to linger, and that's the one good thing about most of the time when I'm working. Most of the people are gone, but the ones that stick out to me are the old Globe Life Field or Globe Life Park. Is that what it was called? The old Rangers Stadium. Anytime I would try to get out of that parking lot, which was connected to Six Flags, it was always a mess. It's not that fun to get out of Globe Life Field's parking lots either, but that was certainly not fun. That was the first thing that popped in my mind, but yeah. And I am very impatient when it comes to that because I like to think I'm a courteous driver, and you do the, hey, one person's going out, you let the next person, and it never works like that. It absolutely never works like that. And if it did, I think the world would be a better place. Hax.
I remember as a kid being caught up in the parking garage at the Myriad, and that roof felt like it was basically on your roof of your car.
Yeah.
It was one of the most suffocating places I've ever been in. So I'm going to say just getting out of that parking garage was the certifiable nightmare. And, you know, we go to the all college or whatever tournament it may be, and getting out of that thing, no bueno.
So if Lubbock ever built a zoo and you could pick what the main attraction of that zoo would be, whether that's like interactive or something for the kids, or even like a specific animal, what would the main attraction be if you got to pick for the Lubbock Zoo?
David, I got one if you want me to go.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. It seems like every zoo has a train. And it also, it seems like that train is built to carry 10-pound people. So it's very rickety. It's always breaking down. Let's advance. Let's invest in a big time train that goes all the way around the premises, that makes stops, that is comfortable, that you can catch your breath on and still see the park. Let's get a big time train instead of one of these things where, you know, like, you ever seen The Jerk? Where Steve Martin is, you know, got the white hat on, and he's the engineer, and he can barely fit on it, and he's running the train.
Yeah,
let's get a big time train.
I'm on board with that.
Literally.
Yes. Oh wow. We didn't even mean to do that. You know, my first thought was something that was going to be cold, so some kind of penguin type facility, because I would imagine you need something like that here, especially if you're doing zoos like you usually do in the summer, and it just would be unbearable outside. But I'm going to go back to my old days, and I would like to see this because it would never be something that we see here. But when I lived in Japan, we would always take a field trip to this place, and they would have cobras and mongoose fights that you could watch. Like, you would go, and he'd be like, all right, this is the exhibit here. Well, let's watch this cobra fight this mongoose. And, you know, I mean, you could, if you were bored, you could wager on it if you wanted to. I don't know. Something that you wouldn't see in most places. I don't know that it would, a lot of people would be too happy with it, but that was something I saw at a zoo, and it's something I don't think I'll ever see again. So that's the route I'm going.
What an answer.
Right? We're not going to see that anywhere here, but I saw it at least twice. It was amazing.
That's what happens when you're in the middle of a vicious cockfight.
So if college athletics had the capability of trading players, what out of the main sports, which sport would have the most players traded between schools, would you say?
Trades. Well, it's got to be football just because the sheer amount of players that are on the rosters. With basketball, you're looking at 15 if you're lucky. With baseball, you're looking at 30 if you're lucky. With football, you're up to 85. And I think you would be taking even some of those lower guys and trying to make trades. So give me college football.
Yeah, that's the easy answer. Percentage-wise, though, I'm trying to think if you compared it to – seems like baseball. What do you think baseball has the most trades percentage-wise out of all of them? I don't know. We got some really crazy NBA trades, if I'm comparing it, obviously. But yeah, numbers wise, I would easily go football. But if it was percentage, I think baseball would be interesting.
What would be the same? I guess what would you consider a draft pick as a college? Would you consider like a recruit level as like a draft pick? Would you trade those away?
Yeah, I don't know how that would work. I mean, because, yeah, how in the world – that's the part that wouldn't work. Yeah, I want to go play for Bill Self in Lawrence. And Bill's like, oh, man, I really, really like Darian Williams. Yeah, we'll go ahead and take you here. Go ahead and sign on that paper. Boom, immediately shipping him off to Lubbock. I don't know that works. That worked well. Also, I didn't think people could get paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to play college basketball not long ago either, right, Hex?
Dead on.
That would be the weird part of the whole thing. I mean, that's the part that still, of course, most of these kids now, I don't want to say most, but a much larger chunk are playing for more than just the head coach. So I guess you wouldn't have that connection as much as maybe in years past. But I still think the head coach has something to do with it, because you're not going to just go to a school. Well, are you? Are you going to go to school and just say, hey, I'll take all this money, I don't care who the head coach is?
If you listen to what these coaches are saying up front, it is, what can you pay me?
And then you just figure it out with them? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how that part of it would work, and I'm glad I don't have to deal with that. Yates Flooring Center chat line. This might beat my cobra versus mongoose. Choice Woodman wrestling alligators. Choice does the bottom line from noon to 3, then he moonlights as a alligator wrestler at the Lubbock Zoo.
There you go.
That sounds like a winner.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
All right, 15 minutes left here on the End of the Bench. Ask the Bench Warmers time. David Collier and Lucas White here in the First United Bank Studios. Hacks in Kansas City. Hacks, First off, we'll get to the chat line. Can you guess the most asked question on the Yates Flooring Center chat line right now?
Oh, something about a snake.
That would actually be number two. The first one, we'll get this one out of the way. Will Warren Washington play tonight? The follow-up to that question, will Warren Washington play again in the red and black? I've had my answer for a while now. It's not a good one, but.
I don't see it. I just don't.
I don't either, which stinks. It stinks because, you know, obviously being an integral part of what they did the majority of the year, but I've said it numerous times, the look that he had on his face in that UCF game where they just left him on camera for a while, he just, it's like he knew then. I don't know that he did, but whenever I read into things like that, it looked like he knew all the way back then.
Well, and then the emotion on senior day, you know, again, if I'm going through senior day, I'm upset that I'm not playing in it, but I'm like, you know what? I got a chance to still leave my legacy in a different, in a way that's on the floor, not in a boot. And there were tears streaming down his face, which to me, again, reading between the lines, is not good.
No, I agree 100%.
Hey, there's a guy named Evan Mayakawa, who's a PhD and it's interested in basketball. He's got the teams most impacted by injuries in the top 100. Number one is Kansas. Number two is Marquette. Number three is Oklahoma. Number four is Northwestern. Number five is Texas Tech.
Three Big 12 schools in the top five.
Beating each other to death.
Yep.
Also, he's got Houston is the third best team in the country. He's got most he's got most indispensable players, MVP rankings, top 10 players, and his score prediction for today is Houston 69, Texas Tech 61.
69-61, Houston. That was another question on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Haxton, score prediction.
I think it'll be a little more points than that. I'm thinking 75-65 Houston.
I think that's a good number. I think that's a really good one. Yeah, I see. Keeping it close-ish, free throws down the stretch.
I mean, I walk an interesting line because, you know, Graham McCaslin, while he's talking to his eyes, like, the only people that think we can win this are in the room with us. And I was going, I mean, I walk a line, right? With 3 hours a day of sports talk, we're paid to give your opinion. And also the mouthpiece for an institution, which is Texas Tech basketball. But I'm also, you know, gonna be real. I mean, TCU opened up 0-for-16 from the field. They shrink the basket. They make it really tough to score, and it's going to be tough to get ahead. And you're going to have to shoot the lights out of it. If you do shoot the lights out of it, you might win. But I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. You know, I'm just not.
Yeah. Hax, how worried were you in real time halfway through BYU's 15-0 run that Tech wouldn't be able to stem the tide?
None worried halfway through. 15-0, and you hadn't scored in about 6 or 7 minutes, got a little worried. Now, when Joe hit the three, all that worry went away.
Yeah. Let's see. Bullfighter here, Benchwarmers. If you could make some sauce, alcoholic beverage, not tomato paste of any, what would you make? Stout, light beer, lager, what would you call it? That's a tough one. Requires way too much thought in the moment. I would change pale ale to not called pale ale, because a pale ale is anything but pale.
I would go with a lager, and I would call it Hacks Dog Light.
I would call yours chili dog sauce. That's what we would call it.
And then in fall, I would turn it down a little bit more towards a porter and do a little Oktoberfest, but call it Hacktoberfest.
Hacktoberfest. I see what you did there. Hacks, any chance Tech goes after Boynton as an assistant coach?
No.
Yeah. I think they've got a pretty decent assistant coach stable there. Bobby Hot Dogs goes with Hacks Diesel. Let's see.
My favorite of all time is Hackzilla.
Hackzilla, yeah. Let's see. In the mid-70s, we were stationed in Okinawa, Japan. This is not me. I'm reading a chat line post. For an elementary school field trip, we went to a snake farm and got to see a mongoose and a habu fight. I'm going to go with cobra. Either way, a snake. The only thing upsetting was later to find out the snakes were put in a refrigerator to slow them down. The mongoose, let's see, the cobras were found a dime a dozen. The mongoose were harder to acquire. Habus? Habus? A habus? I have no idea. Nice to know there's somebody out there listening that was stationed in Okinawa as a youngster like myself. Yeah, I didn't know that they were put in refrigerators. I just know I enjoyed watching that for whatever reason. Let's see.
Lucas ought to close today's show with Snake Farm.
If this is Tadlock's philosophy, Haxton, then Woodcocks needs to be in the lineup regularly. Look at his numbers. He's homered in 12% of his plate appearances. Closest to him is Maxey at 7, Cash at 3, is one of the three tied at 5% from Scott in Houston. Why can't you put him at DH then?
That's what I would do.
Yeah.
Personally.
No, I agree with this.
You ever heard that song? Call your snake farm?
Snake Farm? Not that I know of.
Free Willy Hubbard?
No, not. I bet Lucas could find it. Maybe. He's looking at the clock like, we got like 30 seconds. We don't need that.
Yeah, no. I know we don't have enough time today, but take yourself a listen.
I will. Any Hacks beer would have to be a stout beer from the chat line. Not Busch Light? Is that what we're...
not Busch Light. You weird cyclones.
Most of the responses on the chat line from that were basically like, it's cheap Hacks. That's why they're going with it.
Yeah, no, but there's a lot of cheap beers.
There are a lot of cheap beers, but there has to be some kind of association there.
Yeah.
To each their own. I'm not drinking it. They can have all the Busch Light they want. We've got a phone call on the Visual Edge IT hotline. Kind of interested. Like, when is this guy getting off the air? Final thoughts before we go, Hacks?
You mean like overall?
Tonight, basketball, when you guys
say like
tip it off there.
Peace and love to the world. Long live the Matadors. I think it's going to be really entertaining. I think Texas Tech is really good. Houston is fantastic. And I think Houston will end up being the national champion. So let's go battle with it. This, somebody said it might have been Fran, that the Big 12 tournament is like a mini Final Four. So I'm going to go soak that up and then get ready for the big, big dance. You're a winner no matter what today.
No doubt about it. Hey, and if we're talking about the Big 12 being a physical you know, hard-nosed basketball game, I think this is the basketball game to watch. You know that the Red Raiders have figured out how to play defense. We know Houston can play defense. Hacks, have a good call tonight. You've been listening to The End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score.
This has been the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 107thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.